Welcome to Pints and Politics. I'm your host, Dan Parsons. We're so glad that you tuned in today to episode number 49, if you're keeping track at home. Pints and Politics, you know, we reach out to the thought leaders, opinion leaders, and the people in our state who make a difference. And tonight, and we do that while we enjoy really the only way that politics ought to be discussed, by enjoying a delicious Nebraska craft beer, or in this case, this evening, we're enjoying a Nebraska cider. So pull up a seat and join me in welcoming our guests, who I've known for a while. Mary Johnson, a political consultant here in Lincoln, and you spent your career here in Nebraska doing wonderful political work. And a lot of that work, especially in your early career, was kind of on the Republican side. I know you've mixed it up through the years and continue to, but anyway, Mary, we've known each other a while, and I'm so grateful that you took time out from this election cycle to sit down and talk.
Happy to be here. Really, it's good.
Yeah, well, I'm delighted. And we'll tell stories, if that's okay.
We'll tell stories. I can do that.
Yeah, yes, you can. And my friend Kate Wolf, Kate and I have known each other and we've worked on some campaigns together in the last, five, 6 years. And Kate is primarily representing Democratic candidates, although again, you kind of swim around in other pools now and again. But Kate Wolf, thank you. As a political, also a political consultant,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad I finally wore you down. I've been asking to be on your show for years now. And I definitely have worked for, I've worked for Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, and that was all just one person.
I did the same. I did that too.
We did.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even think about that race that we could do an entire episode
just on that race. You had to bring in more chairs.
Oh, my goodness.
Be a fun one.
Okay. Well, as is our tradition, let's pop open this delicious. Let me tell you about what we're having tonight. Glacial Till, a great vineyard and craft cider, and they're located, where are they? Over, out by Seward. No? Where are they?
Palmyra.
Yeah.
Yep, Ashland. And they have a tasting room in Ashland.
Yes, exactly. Yep. I've been there. I just, directionally, if you want me, Mary, if you need me to drive someplace, don't let me.
God, good to remember.
Because
I'll remember
my directions are off. So anyway, this is their Tilarita, which according to their website, this is their homage to the classic Margarita. And it is a cider, and I'm so thrilled. You know, last episode, we had the folks from Kincaidor on, and we drank craft cocktails. Hmm. And tonight we're doing cider. So cheers, ladies.
Cheers. Cheers, yay.
Oh, that's a summer drink.
It is a summer
drink.
That's really good.
Holy smokes. Okay, well, let's dive into this. I warned you both. This will go really fast. We may have to do two episodes, but we'll see.
Doubt that people are going to be screaming for an encore.
Absolutely.
They get to enjoy the three of us.
Yes. Well, so let's just dive in. Mary, you have, as we mentioned, I mean, you've been around the Capitol and worked for, what are some of you, I first knew you when you worked for Doug Bierider. Tell people who Doug Bierider was, still is.
Well, Doug Bierider is probably the longest serving member of Congress from CD1, anyway, 29 years.
Yeah.
And I worked on his election campaign. And he and I had met because I was a page of the unicameral.
Oh, yeah.
And at that time, pages were assigned to committee rather than moving around. So I got to know him pretty well. And worked on the campaign and had an opportunity to become a staff member there. And I also became his political director and was with him for 14 years.
And you know, it seems like we've come a long ways since Doug Bierider.
He was truly somebody who was right in the center.
Yes, truly was. He'd piss people off on the left. He'd piss people off on the right.
He definitely would. But the thing about it is, and that's where he stayed.
Yes.
For all 29 years. And it started to get pretty dicey at the end of that time.
I remember
before
that.
He retired. And it just wasn't, he didn't, I think he really felt that he couldn't really accomplish anymore in the vein that he wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, amazing. And Kate, where did you get your start? Remind me, I should know this. But
you know, I had grew up in a very politically involved family. My dad was very involved in Phelps County politics back in the day, and then had kind of gotten out of it by the time, you know, I was at a formative age. But
no, I'm sorry. Did your dad hold office, or he was just involved in politics?
He was kind of the Democratic Party chair.
Okay, cool.
You know, kind of chair of that area for all kinds of candidates. We've got great Kennedy memorabilia at home.
Nice.
and letters from Bobby Kennedy, which are near and dear to my
wow.
heart. So, you know, I kind of grew up with that. You know, I was born a Democrat. I didn't really become one. Always interested, but I really was a political late bloomer and didn't really get involved in politics until 2007.
Oh.
And I really rode in on two critical issues, the Obama wave and Nebraska's first caucus. I used to just be really enamored with the Iowa caucus. Used to tell my family, this is it, this is year. I'm quitting my job. I'm going to be a blackjack dealer in Council Bluffs just so I can caucus. I love the political attention that Iowa always gets every year. And I really liked the message of Barack Obama at that time. So I jumped in, I signed up for every and any volunteer opportunity I could find. As you know, internet, organizing via the internet was a really new thing.
Hmm.
Showed up at a little meeting downtown, and it's Honest Abe's now, but it was Herbert's and Gerbert sandwich shop then.
Okay.
And met some people that have become lifelong friends.
Cool.
And that was it. I was a volunteer. And so I think it's just the best way, I believe to this day, into politics is by being a volunteer.
And I've probably told this story, people are tired of it. But just for context, that's how I got started. I was finishing college and volunteered on KOR's campaign. So that's how I got my start. And then went on to work for Senator Dave Carnes and did that for a while, and for a short while, two and a half years to serve out.
Something happened?
Bob Kerry happened. it turned out he was still very popular and took that Senate seat. But anyway, we're not here to talk about, well, we can talk about my political background, but I want to talk about your political background. So Mary, it's interesting to hear Kate as a late bloomer, and she, the internet was invented. I mean, when we got our start, I'll tell this quick story. I remember I was so thrilled. So when I walked into the KOR for governor campaign, and Barry Kennedy was comms director. And so Barry put me to work. I said, well, okay, Mr. Kennedy, what do I do? Well, there's a stack of envelopes over there. Why don't you start stuffing them? And it was a news release. And so we'd mail. News, or I'd walk it down to Don Walton at the Journal Star. Mm-hmm. Don was fairly young back then. and I was so thrilled when the fax machine was invented.
I was just gonna say, boy, that was the turn of the century in the congressional staff, because we could actually fax things.
Yeah.
We didn't have to send everything. So that's, yeah.
So
that's very much the case.
Do you remember what was the first political campaign that you were in charge and telling the candidate how to put their tie on straight?
Well, considering when I went to work for Doug, I served as his constituent services rep.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elaine Hammer, who had run
sure.
Doug's first race and then ran the second one, and just said to Doug, I am done with this. I just want to do some other things. And so we were on our way to Nebraska City, and Doug goes, I'll drive. I want to talk to you about something. That was always the thing.
It was
always one of those.
Driving.
There were several of those during the course of my time with him. And he said, Mary, I'd really like you to take over the political end of all of this. And you know, at that time, there was a lot of great training on both sides of the aisle. And you could go, and I went to the Congressional Institute, I went to the Republican, just the overall campaign management school. And it was really good then.
Interesting.
And then there was just a real loss of that training altogether. And now we're doing more and more of different kinds of training. Mm-hmm. And so I started
You went to school.
I went to school.
Yeah.
And Doug gave me all of that opportunity.
That's cool.
And so that's how I got started doing all of the political stuff. And so that would have been selected in 78. So in 82, yeah, I did that first race and did the following six.
Kate, I happen to know that you actually do some of that training around the country.
I do.
Yeah,
I do. I'm a trainer. Yeah, I'm a trainer for the National Democratic Training Committee. Mm-hmm. And it's great to hear Mary talk about that, because when I was new and surfing the web, I remember coming across a little thing called the Yale Women's Campaign School. And guess who was the president of that at the time?
No,
it was
kidding.
Mary Johnson. Yeah. And our paths hadn't really crossed yet. Right. But, you know, reading all about that and being this, thinking how amazing it would be to be able to go to something like that. And I just loved it. So yeah, over the years, I ended up, it was 2017, doing a training for the NDTC, and they have now trained in every 50 states.
Tell our viewers and listeners what that acronym.
Yeah, the National Democratic Training Committee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, see, this is why I loved to get you guys together, because we can tell stories all night. Okay, let's flash forward and talk about maybe some things that are happening now. Mary, do you want to talk about, you kind of got drug out of retirement.
I did.
Tell us, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I retired from Miller Roback. I lobbied for Bill Miller, Kim Roback, and Larry Ruth for 25 years.
Yeah.
After I had been with Doug. I'd been with Doug B. Ryder for 14, and then I ran Mike Johann's campaign for mayor, and I was there for 4 years. And then 4 years was good in the mayor's office. I mean, it was good.
That's a different animal, isn't it?
It is very
different. Government.
You're within punching range there. And instead of getting calls from the congressional office. I mean, if people are really angry, they let you know when they come in and they want to see somebody. And then Bill and Larry had asked me to come and lobby with them and allowed me to have my own political consulting firm under the firm name, we had a whole new contract with a different name under that firm. So it was great for me. And so I worked there, and I retired in January of 19, and
thought you were just gonna sit back and do some reading, maybe a little travel, and just relax.
Patty and Lowell came to see me about, I'd say probably early September, and said, I'm thinking about this, because she thought about it several years ago.
And tell our viewers and listeners who Patty.
Oh, Patty Pansing Brooks, who's now currently running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District.
Yep.
And so
finishing her legislative career,
right?
8 years in the legislature.
That's right. So I did both of those races for Patty for the legislature, and they had good staff people, but Patty said, I just really trust you and your decision making, because that's what I know most about you. And so I've been back with them. So I started with them in October.
That's so cool. I remember the kickoff, which was a huge kickoff, my goodness. Down at the train station.
Right.
And you just, now this episode is, by the time people see and listen to this, it's a little past when we're recording this, but you just finished, first of all, let me just back up. I forgot to thank you both for being here, because just this past week, I've been out and about, and thank goodness COVID is over, because we can go out and see our friends and go to events and have drinks. And so I've been doing that the past week or so and two, and going to political events and fundraisers and enjoying, you know, some Nebraska craft beer and doing what I do and getting to see people. And I've seen you both in many locations the past couple weeks, but the difference is you're both working your asses off as I'm just, you know, doing my PR thing. So thank you for taking your time. I know you both must just be exhausted, but you just finished this week the special election for CD1.
Yeah.
And you did really, really well.
We did really well, and better than Democrats have done in history in the first congressional district. And Patty is a tireless worker. And right now she's taking a few days off because they're celebrating their 40th, she and Lowell are celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. So we're kind of all collecting. We've done a very thorough look at all the results. And so we're trying to get that all squared away on paper. But it was exciting because we did well, and it was really fun. I was driving home listening to Fox Radio saying, boy, there was a real surprise in CD1 because that margin wasn't as wide as they kept telling us it would be.
On Fox.
So I thought, you know, but, you know, we did move it. We moved it the needle pretty well. And the nice part is there's a plan. So having had the primary and now having a special, which is very unusual in this state.
Very unusual.
The thing about it is that you get another set of numbers to look at six weeks later, which is kind of a gift because it allows us to realign where we're gonna go and how we're gonna do it. And I think we all feel very strongly that this is doable.
So the general election will be in November,
right?
Same two candidates against each other. Congressman Flood will have some incumbency, 5 months of incumbency under his belt. Name ID, I haven't seen any polls. I don't have a dog in this hunt. I am supporting one of the candidates financially and otherwise, but I don't know those numbers. I haven't dove into this race. I don't know it obviously like you do. But again, just looking at that, as you said, historically, Democrats, it's a challenging
it is.
District.
But the thing I would say, and Kate may agree, that we've had so many people change from either one side or the other and become nonpartisans.
Yep.
So obviously you have to talk to those people and you need to make your you have to have a discussion with them. You have to turn out people that you know are supportive. And I think the biggest thing about the special election was how many people did not even realize there was an election. We have been communicating and communicating.
Miserable voter turnout.
Yes. And not only that, but I think the other part is parts of the new district didn't know if they were eligible to vote in this election or not.
Because of redistricting, there's it changed.
And we actually sent messages out the morning of the election saying you are eligible to vote in this election today. I mean, you're just trying to communicate any way that you can. So the nice part is we have a new roadmap and we are looking forward to the next few months.
That's cool. Well, I'm thankful Patty drug you out of retirement. That's really cool.
It's been, well, of course, you know, you have a special election. I've never done that.
Yeah.
So
check
here
that
you
off.
Are after all these years, having an opportunity to do that and then get the benefits of what that special has had to offer to us at this point.
You bet.
And I have to also say Roe v. Wade made a huge part
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yeah, people are fired up.
They are.
It's not just gas and groceries.
Right.
Yeah,
there's
another topic that people are concerned about. Kate, let's talk about whatever race or I know, again, because I see you everywhere and you're working. I know you've got your fingers in several different races this cycle.
Yeah.
Do you care to generically talk about any of
those?
Yeah,
absolutely. So this is always a busy cycle. There are so many, term limits has kind of created, a lot of open seats, and for some reason this cycle is always the biggest, and so there's a lot going on. So I'm working with two candidates that are running for legislature, a candidate who's running for county board, and a ballot initiative.
And that's a nice mix.
And I have to give a shout out to a lovely NRD candidate who's fortunate enough to be unopposed. So hers, that's a win. It's always good to already have one win.
That's right.
Isn't that a blessing?
No kidding.
When you've got, and because you don't know that going in.
That's right.
Yeah.
And those candidates that are smart enough to hire good consultants, even when they don't know if they're going to need you. In the sense of a contested race.
Yeah. There matters what happens before the filing deadline sometimes.
Yes.
So do you have any favorite stories, Kate? I mean, I know you've done statewide races. I know you've done county races. I know you've done legislative races. Maybe you've done some local, I can't remember. But do you have a preference? Do you have any favorites? Do you have any candidates that, I'll never work for that SOB again. Well, I know one. Anyway,
You know, a fun thing I thought about as we were kind of getting through this was the first race I really ever jumped into that I was responsible from, you know, the top to the bottom was Kay Bowles' race in 2012. And I was really fortunate to get started with her. You know, I had kind of come off cutting my teeth on a couple legislative races in 2010. And Kate was a candidate, one of five.
That's right.
Kind of the underdog, two Republicans and three Democrats.
So again, just to remind our viewers and listeners, a legislative seat here in Lincoln.
Yep, legislative district 29. Yep. And it had, you know, for 50 years been held by Republicans. Kate was a Democrat. And, you know, a lot of people kind of saw it as a conservative stronghold. And
well, because, sorry to interrupt, because it was.
Yeah, sorry. So,
we can name, was that Mike Foley?
It was Foley? Tony Fulton.
Tony Fulton,
and then Mike
Foley. Mike
Foley before that.
LaVon Crosby.
Yep. Yeah.
That's as far back as I can go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right. But yes, all of those.
But that was the history.
Yeah.
And it continued through that.
Yeah. But so, Kate flipped that. You helped Kate flip that.
Kate squared. We just tackled it. And we had, she was the hardest working candidate that I had seen. And we really did it, ran a textbook campaign, had a great experience that I love to tell on my fundraising training trips was, you know, we talk about what motivates people to give, and I get to my favorite circle, which is axe to grind, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. And you know, we had somebody come in and say, you know, we really weren't sure she could win, but we've just seen you all running a pure textbook campaign, and you know, so we have to, you know, I'm here with $1,000 check for the candidate. I happen to be the only person in the office, and I'm like, wow, thank you. And I'm just like reaching around, patting myself on the back of what a great job we must be doing. And he's like, oh, walking out the door, I should probably let you know we gave the same amount to
your opponent. Yes.
That's how that works. Maybe that's more horse betters, sorts of things.
But that's okay. I mean, you'll take it.
Oh, yeah, you do. And I mean, and so her hard work and her moving that dial of viability, the closer we got to election day, it was incredibly important. Otherwise, her opponent would have got, let's say $1,000 and she'd have got nothing.
Exactly.
So those things really, really matter. And so.
Well, what that tells me, obviously, it was a competitive race.
Yes.
At least. Yeah.
Well, she had won the primary. So she had performed very, very well. And that was exciting. So, and I, you know, we got to the end, she had great support from volunteers and other folks, and, you know, election night was a victory, and that was really exciting. But this is the point of this story. Like, while it was a very exciting time for me, the most exciting moment came a couple days later. I was having lunch with a colleague and, you know, still kind of just really riding this high and kind of trying to figure out how did we pull this off? You know, maybe do I tell people I didn't really know what I was doing?
No.
Don't you always feel a little bit like you don't know what you're doing? So
every day
a woman walked up to me and congratulated me on the Bowles race. And I was like,
who you didn't even know, maybe?
Well, I kind of knew, but then I was like, was that Mary Johnson? And I was like, and then I just had this like, oh my God, Mary Johnson just told me I did a good job.
Yeah,
and it's just, like, it was just like this, you know, she did what I was now doing and kind of fallen into. And it was the most, it was just the best compliment I could have ever received. You know, you get kudos from lots of people, but someone that
knows
it, yeah, and a veteran and someone I admire through so many levels of your work, Mary, I don't know if I've ever told you that story and what meant to me.
Someone else actually told me that story. But I thought, you know, it's important to acknowledge women in this business because
absolutely,
before there were not a lot.
Yeah.
I was kind of one of few.
You were.
When I started, Doug really gave me an opportunity. Nancy Bosker. But she was doing more party work than one-on-one.
Correct.
And Kate was one of those early women who were in the middle of that. And she was lucky because she started with a female and could be successful. Mm. It was like a double hitter. Not only was she a woman doing that work, but it was just nice. It was great to see that. So it was always important for me to acknowledge that. You did a great job and you got somebody elected who's a female here in this body.
Yeah.
So that part of crossing over is just, it's not, for me, it wasn't ever crossing over. The point is she did a great job. Kate did a great job. And as a result of that, it needs to be acknowledged by other people who do this work.
Absolutely. And maybe it's hopefully a sign of the times and maybe a sign of my feminist daughter and my feminist son beating me to a pulp all these years. And I didn't even recognize that. I didn't even think about that. But it's so true that, yeah, you guys, you have been a trailblazer and you have come along in Mary's wake.
Absolutely.
And so that's so cool. It didn't even occur to me. But okay, real quick, tell a election night story. Tell your favorite election night story. And maybe not even favorite, but maybe it's memorable. And as you think about that.
I'll talk about a loss. I'll talk about my first loss. And if you want to go the other direction, how's that sound?
No, but I mean, yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah. Back to those 2010 races, you know, I was so green, so new, and grateful for mentors that saw some things in me that I did not see in myself, bringing, you know, some transferable skills from my life into politics and learn how to cut turf and knock doors and, you know, working and driving every weekend to Northeast Nebraska and just having tremendous amount of belief that if you put the work in, you're going to be successful, right? Great volunteers and things were strong and election night came and I'm just holding on, refreshing. Oh, this county's not in yet. You know, this is going to be good. And at the end of the night, my candidate lost. And it was shocking, you know, it was a little bit strange. And the bond that you create with your candidate that you don't even realize you're developing through that, I might get emotional, y'all.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
We avoided each other after the results were in the whole night, you know, candidate with friends and family and I'm rotating and we're just kind of in. Finally, we got pushed in the same room in the kitchen of someone's home. It's like, you two really need a moment. And we did. And we cried and cried and cried.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a labor of love.
It is.
It is.
And
I mean,
it's
you
real
pull,
people
you,
and
yeah.
it's real effort. And
yeah.
and
oh.
so you
because that's
really
why
do
you do
learn
it.
So much from losing.
Oh, yeah.
And here I am.
I know.
You know, that was 12 years ago. And I love it just as much, win or lose.
That's cool. That's cool.
I guess I would probably have to say it was Patty's primary because I had crossed over. We had a very active Republican on the other side
mm-hmm.
who we were surprised did not do better. But in the primary, we had two on the other side. And I think the thing about it was, is that the thing we always kept hearing is, well, Patty's not going to raise any money. Well, by the time the first reports were in, she had raised more than either of the other two. And then at that time when, you know, the Republicans kind of kicked it up and more money came in at that time, the thing about it is we really never looked back. And I think it was that primary that made the most... was probably one of the more fun primaries for me because I crossed the aisle with the right candidate in that district.
That's gotta be.
It was just overwhelming. And I think that there was such a mixed group of people at Patty's home that night, that lots of R's and D's.
Yep.
And it was one of those, kind of where Patty is today. She's, I don't care what you are, as long as you want to join where I am going. And I think that watching her from that time on to what she's doing today, she's that same person.
Yeah.
I can't say that about her opponent.
Yep. Oh my goodness.
They're very different people when I look at them now than when I knew them earlier.
I would love to have a discussion about making that switch from R to D to I to you know, back and forth, because all three of us have done it. So let's come back and do it again.
Let's do it again.
Okay. See, I told you, we ran out
of time. Yeah, that was really fast.
It was actually really fast. Okay. Well, as we wrap up, let me thank a number of people. The crew at BCom Solutions, Courtney and Rachel and Hallie is here tonight. And in BCom, they do all of our production and editing and distribution. Kim Remington is here, the operations manager at Parsons Public Relations. Pints and Politics theme music by Jack Rodenberg. Thank you to Fuse Co-working, our home here, and Parsons Public Relations. You can learn more about what we do at danparsonspr.com. And I am just so thankful and so thrilled that my friends, longtime friend Mary Johnson, not nearly as long, but dear friend Kate Wolf, thank you.
Thank you.
It was fun. Thanks. Yeah. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks again.
Fun.